Blog Talk Radio.
All of us have become so goddamn weird.
Welcome everyone to In Cahoots. I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
Yo.
And we have a special guest tonight.
Hi, it's me again, it's Mitch.
And Mitch will kind of serve as our moderator for tonight. It's like we're having a debate. So I'm just going to kind of hand the show over to Mitch right now.
All right. Well, Cahooters and Cahooties, tonight we're going to be discussing Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice. I just want to get both the gentlemen's takes on this tonight. So, this is perhaps the most controversial superhero film of the last 20 years, or at least since last August's Fantastic Four. Anyway, right now, online, currently, it has a 29% critical approval rate on Rotten Tomatoes. It has a 71% audience approval rate, though, on Rotten Tomatoes. It has a 7.4 out of 10 IMDb user rating and a 44 out of 100 for Metacritic. So critics seem to hate it. Audiences seem to be generally favorable towards it. Mixed is the word most are using to describe what could have been the most epic superhero film to date. But this is nothing to say about the power of DC and the power of Batman and Superman. Despite overwhelmingly bad critical reviews, the film grossed $500 million in a single weekend. So either the critics don't know what they're talking about, or DC just made a statement saying that they don't have to put out a good movie to make a ton of money. So tonight, we're here with longtime DC fans and superhero enthusiasts Sam McCoy and Chris Politsky. Gentlemen, is it safe to say you two are no strangers to the characters Batman and Superman and to the greater DC universe?
I would say yes.
I would say absolutely.
So, is it safe to say that you two were looking forward to this film?
Sam, I'll let you take it first.
Yes, absolutely. I've been looking forward to this movie since probably like 1989, because I was already into Superman then, and then I became a Batman fan then, so yeah, since I was like 4 years old.
Okay, Chris?
Yeah, I'd say that this is just a movie that was supposed to be, you know, just get the two guys on screen together, Batman, Superman. You know, I don't need to see them fight. I just need to see them hang out, you know. I'd pay money to watch them sit on a couch for an hour and a half and just talk. So, yeah, I mean, I think it would just be great to see it happen, finally.
Would they be Dutch wrestling?
Yes. I would say that Marvel has nothing compared to the draw that comes with Batman and Superman, and it's just seeing them together on screen is monumental. So, you both having seen the film and having had a few days to digest, in a brief statement, how would you characterize your overall feelings towards the film, Sam?
Well, for those who listened to our previous podcast, which was done the night I saw the movie, which was last Thursday, a week ago, Chris wanted us to do it because of the rage coming out of me. I was not happy. I've since seen the movie two more times, and I have lightened up, for sure. I still think it's a pretty flawed movie. I wish I didn't have to watch it more times to, like, get the get the stink of it off, but, like, beat myself into liking it. There's some good parts and there's some bad.
Chris.
Yeah, when I went and saw it, I saw it on the Saturday, last Saturday, which first Saturday it was opening. I knew the bad of Sam. I knew his rage, his venom that he was just spitting. And so I knew the bad going into it, which allowed me to watch it with kind of, I knew the bad that was happening. So the good, the stuff that I kind of enjoyed, kind of stuck out a little bit more, making it an enjoyable experience, I guess, more so than the rage-filled review of it that I got from Sam on Thursday night.
Okay, Chris, what would you say are the three biggest positives about the film, in your opinion?
Well, I enjoyed finally getting Wonder Woman. You know, we had Superman, Batman finally, and then also getting Wonder Woman up there. It's been long overdue for her to get something. You know, we've had countless Batman movies now, you know, a few takes on Superman. So it's good to get her out there. And I think that also kind of helps play into why people have been going to see it as well. Getting that. Ben Affleck is Batman, and Jeremy Irons is Alfred. I enjoyed those two guys together. I kind of wanted a little bit more between them. That's the two that I really had. I was having a hell of a time picking out something else. Some of the other things that I enjoyed are more of one of the other things that you asked us to talk about, so I'll get into that later. So my two that really stand out would be Wonder Woman, Affleck, and Irons. So.
Okay, it seems like audiences are agreeing with you. Sam, what would you say are the biggest positives, the three biggest positives in your opinion?
My three are, two of my three are what Chris listed, Jeremy Irons, Ben Affleck, and Gal Gadot as Alfred, Batman, Bruce Wayne, and Wonder Woman, respectively. And then my third one is just even though I don't like or understand what, why they were doing what they were doing with so many freaking dream sequences and vision sequences, I do greatly enjoy that I got to see a fucking live-action Parademon.
Yes.
Made me very happy. So.
All right.
Those are mine. I mean, Irons and Affleck have a wonderful chemistry. Gal Gadot was just wonderful. I'm more excited now for the Wonder Woman movie than I probably am the Justice League movie. So.
Okay. All right. And then what would you say were the film's three biggest missteps, Sam?
Sure. I think that the biggest misstep that they made was how joyless and solemn the whole movie was. This movie should be happy. We were finally getting Superman and Batman together, and it's that should make everyone happy, you'd think. But boy, goddamn, this movie, no one's happy in this world. I think almost every decision that was made, not just in the acting, but of the writing of Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor, was a huge misstep. And then my kind of third one is just how ham-fisted, enforced, and contrived the inclusion of a bunch of Justice League stuff was. I just must have it was so forced. Those are my thoughts.
Okay. Chris, would you agree with those, or do you have your own missteps that you feel the movie perpetrated?
I agree wholeheartedly with everything. I also have down Zack Snyder in general. I just I just don't see his vision. His take on these characters, just, you know, his visuals in the fights, you know, it's his stuff and he stylizes it. I'm not a huge fan of it anymore. It's just been played out. I think that he's not the guy for the DC cinematic universe. You know, he should not be the one in charge of it or leading the way on there for me. And also, in the dream sequence within the, so you had the dream sequence, the, what do they call it, the nightmare, or the dark nightmare,
the nightmare,
whatever. And then he wakes up out of it, but he has Flash talking to him. And then he wakes up from that. I don't like that Flash portion of it. You know, he's like, well, this is, it's all her. Like, is he talking like Lois Lane? But then all of a sudden, you know, you have the end. So this show is also going to have spoilers, and with Superman dying, you know, so does that take that out of it? I don't know. That was dumb. I didn't like that. I thought it was stupid. And then same with the forced cyborg crap. All while the action's happening within the movie. Just misplaced stuff.
One second. Let me just clarify. I want to just add a little bit to particularly the cyborg, what Chris is talking about when Wonder Woman gets that. If you go with how the movie is laid out and edited, Batman, and I wish this was in the movie, but Batman is in his armor sending this to Wonder Woman. And I would love to have seen, like, him, like, on, like, an iPad or something, sending all this stuff to her. Because he's already lit up the bat signal, already in the armor, and then she's, like, at her hotel. I don't know. How the movie's put together is mind-bogglingly horrible.
Another thing with that whole thing is when she opens the folders and everyone has their own, they all have a symbol already.
They all have a logo. They all have their names. He's already named them.
So that's just...
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and then, I just have to. Also, another thing on the release of the deleted scene. I don't like that. You know, trying to grasp at whatever they can. You know, being that Luther was talking to somebody and then they vanish. You know, just... If you wanted that in the movie, put it in the damn movie. So, anyway. I just wanted to throw that out, that was one of those things that I was just like, you gotta be kidding me.
Mm-hmm. I believe that scene was only 30 seconds long, so it probably wouldn't have added a whole lot if they wanted to keep it in.
Right.
Well, that scene doesn't make any goddamn sense.
All right.
I can't imagine if they would have... I can't imagine if you were a casual... I don't know what's going on it as a longtime DC fan. Like, everyone's like, well, that's fucking Steppenwolf. And I'm like, are we... Fucking, that doesn't look like Steppenwolf. Who the fuck is this? I think we're just... People are grasping at straws.
Yeah.
So... Okay. As was previously stated, this interview does contain spoilers about the movie, so if you haven't seen it, you should probably stop listening right now. The movie takes two of the seminal stories of each character, Batman and Superman, and mashes them together. In the words of one audience member, they took two classic stories, mashed them together, and did an injustice to both. Gentlemen, would you agree with this statement?
Sam, you want to take it? I would
go first.
I want to go as far as Injustice, but there was bits that, you know, were nice. You know, it was neat seeing Batman in the armor. I don't know. If you want to watch, you know, Dark Knight Returns, get the cartoon. Death of Superman is a great story, and there's just so much into that as far as a comic. Great characters. Just it was the times that it came out, as we did on our show. You know, one of my favorite Superman stories. And so it's very simple. I love Doomsday. I thought he looked like shit. So yeah, I guess it's just Sam, go on.
Yeah, it's just to touch upon real quick the Flash scene we were talking about earlier, where they had the vision. I mean, this they took that from Crisis on Infinite Earths. I don't know why. I still don't know why they felt the need to do that. But there's a scene from that very similar, especially with Batman and Barry. What I think happened was, like, I don't know, maybe like Jeff Johns gave Zack Snyder like a stack of classic DC comics and basically told like Zack Snyder, like, the images you like and we'll write a story around it, you know? Because, you know, Dark Knight Returns and Death of Superman, I mean, I'll just flat out say, I mean, those are the two most famous stories Superman's in. I think, like, now Zack Snyder could be like, well, we did Superman. You know, that you just take weird, random stuff from, you know, you have Batman with the rifle, and it's like, well, it had more of a point in Dark Knight Returns. I mean, it's a great striking image, but there was more of a reason why, you know, Miller was doing it not just to do it. Especially when he wasn't even really, I don't know how anyone didn't see him in that part. You know, the bad armor was cool, but there could have been other ways to work that in somewhere. And then the Superman stuff, I mean, I don't even know what to say. The Death of Superman stuff seemed really like seemed like the laziest way. Instead of doing any sort of real character development, they just, to kill him was the easiest thing to do, which is unfortunate. I don't know. That's kind of my thoughts.
Okay. Both of you have brought up Zack Snyder, the grand architect of Man of Steel and Batman v Superman, and he is responsible for many fine comic book-based films, and some that are largely faithful to the source material. Would either of you care to hazard a guess as to why Batman v Superman went in the direction that it did? Sam?
I'll kind of disagree with some of your comments there. Like, Watchmen is almost really good, but he never got, like, he was always just, like, a step. He always went a step too far, and that's what he always does, I think. You know, even just, you know, of course, the ending just doesn't work like the comic does, and you know, everything can be, everything wrong with that movie is described in the great, you know, the Manhattan being interviewed on TV sequence. All that stuff's perfect, whereas Sally and Night Owl in the alleyway is terrible. It's everything that's wrong with that movie, where it's, you know, literally the best parts mixed with the worst parts. He needs someone to pull the reins on him. and someone who really cares, you know. And it's, I think in the end, it's just we don't, they don't have the Kevin Feige guiding vision. I think at one time they really wanted that to be Goyer. But, you know, Goyer was so hand-in-hand with the Nolan Batman movies, and it's just not a, I don't know, it's just not, what they're doing now I just don't think is the right direction. I think it's, I don't think he likes, I definitely don't think he likes Superman. And I think just what he likes about Batman is that he, like, kicks people's ass. And I think that's about it. I guess that's kind of where I'm going.
Okay. Chris, do you have any inclination as to why the movie went in the direction it did?
Yeah, I just think it's I don't know for sure. I mean, there's years and years of source material that you can go back to and look at and pick from. And just different things of that nature. I don't know. I don't know how you do it. I guess I'm assuming that, you know, with Warner Brothers and the success of Batman Begins and all those, that's kind of the idea of going with this darker take on everything, you know, since the lighthearted Green Lantern failed for Warner Brothers. And so when you... They couldn't find a happy medium between the two. And it just wasn't the Superman, like Sam said earlier, you know, it should have been some light in there. You know, it should have been fun. And just nothing there. It just was too dark. You didn't laugh at anything. If Deadpool or even, you know, the success of Guardians of the Galaxy, those movies are fun. They're lighthearted at times, and it's not so tense the entire time. You know, I watched Batman v Superman with my nephew, and, you know, he got restless. He was, what, 9? And, you know, he was sitting in a seat, and he couldn't sit because there's nothing in there to grasp him to keep him going, you know. So that's kind of how I looked at that one.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. There's currently a petition by DC fans online to remove Zack Snyder from any further involvement in the DC Extended Universe. Do either of you feel this is justified? Chris?
Yeah, go for it. I mean, I'd like to see somebody else maybe take the reins. Or, you know, as Sam said, with somebody there to pull him back. And have him have a little bit of a check system and have him in check. Sam?
Yeah, it's, I mean, there's actually a couple petitions out there right now. I think somebody, it would be nice to have someone who pulls the reins in on him a little bit. Worst part is, do I have a good idea for one? I can't think of anyone off the top of my head that I think about. I mean, you know, in terms of a guy who maybe more the tone I'd be interested in, but I know he's busy, is, you know, and he's a Warner Brothers guy. The guy who did a few of the Harry Potters, he did a lot of the later ones where there was mixed with fun, with a little darker stuff mixed with some lighter stuff. He can handle that complex action pretty decently. That would be a guy, maybe. God, I can't even think of that guy's name.
David Yates.
David Yates. There you go. That's the guy. But I know he's doing he's got that Tarzan movie, and then he might be doing Fantastic Beasts, too. Just a little lighter tone. That's my thing, is it just needs to be fun. That certainly isn't what, and this is a joyless affair.
I've been in this movie a couple times and just have been noticing if there's kids around, and they do not, they don't appear to be having the best of times. As I, like I've been seeing, like Chris said, they seem to be stirring a lot in their seats, and this should be like an 8-year-old's favorite movie. But I don't know. Because, you know, Batman and Superman, Chris and I were talking a little bit. What I've noticed in the three showings I've gone to is that the age range is huge. More so than a Marvel movie would be because, you know, Superman has been super relevant since the 40s, continually having new times where he's been popular, especially in the 50s through the 70s. And Batman has reinvented himself almost every decade since the 60s and found new fans all the time. So you have a huge age range that is interested in wanting – everyone wanted this movie to be great. I just think it was a missed opportunity. It was going to make all this money no matter what, and that's – unfortunately, that's kind of the shame of it is that they'll look at the box office numbers as well. The theaters don't matter, but it's – you are going to make all this money no matter what.
Both of you have compared this to the Marvel films as of late, and rightly so. When Marvel started building their cinematic universe, they sort of started like building a house. They laid the first brick, the foundation, and that brick could stand by itself. And they laid the next brick right next to it, but also being able to stand by itself. Then with Avengers, you had a brick which bridged those two bottom layers. And so that's usually the typical way you build a house. This DC film was supposed to be the launching pad for the extended universe of DC's films. But this brick doesn't follow the way Marvel was building their house. It's sort of floating there in midair. Right? We jump into a Batman who's 20 years already into his career as Batman. Wonder Woman has been doing this for 100 years, and the Wonder Woman film that's coming out is actually, in fact, going to be a prequel. And it's up for debate whether or not the following film in DC's universe, Suicide Squad, will be either a sequel to this movie or a prequel. So knowing DC's full slate of films through 2020, how is your outlook for the coming films of the DC Extended Universe, Sam?
I think like most people, excited for Suicide Squad. Everything we've seen of Suicide Squad so far looks pretty dang promising. Wonder Woman, you know, what we did see in that DC Comics special on CW, the DC movie, DC Universe special, that looked promising. You know, not much. It was all pretty raw. You know, they're just finished up filming and going back for more here in a couple weeks once all the promotional stuff for BVS gets done. You know, Justice League, I think everyone's, myself included, is a little worried about. Flash, which is done by Graham, or the guy who wrote Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, was Seth Graham Smith or whatever. And he wrote like a couple of last Tim Burton movies, like the vampire one and such. And who knows? I'm not super excited about this version of The Flash, especially after, I mean, we have a really good version of The Flash, it's on TV. This one just appeared to be really different. I wish it was not Barry. I wish he was Wally or something. We don't really, I mean, Cyborg, you know, who knows? I still think that'll change at some point to probably be a Teen Titans movie. Aquaman. Interesting to see James Wan, you know, stepping further out of the horror realm. They gotta get it where it doesn't look like he's breathing underwater or that he's holding his breath. And they gotta figure that out now. I mean, that was kind of – that was a definite issue in his little appearance in BVS, in my opinion. Chris, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm not going to reiterate anything that you said. The only thing I got is that, Mitch, you mentioned that, you know, they start with Iron Man, and, you know, they blade bricks, whereas this was they had a bunch of twigs trying to build a straw house and throwing all this stuff at you. Like, oh, here's Flash, here's Cyborg, here's Wonder Woman, here's Aquaman. That's it. You know, just no lead into, giving them their own movies, whatever, to lead to the Justice League. Like, it's just going to hit it. And I think that could be its undoing. It's hard to say. They're trying to play catch up to the Marvel. What are they in, phase 3 now? Or is that what we're going into with Civil War?
Yeah.
You know, and how many movies have they already put out?
12.
So you got 12 movies and trying to play catch up in one movie.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
I will add, if we're going to use the house analogy, the one thing that DC does have on their side is that, you know, unlike the Marvel characters, especially with Batman and Superman, there's such a familiarity already with those characters. Unfortunately, I think some of the off-putting things for some people is this isn't like some of the characters I know from various movies I've seen, which it is off-putting to some, for sure. They had a really good foundation, Batman and Superman are so ingrained in American culture that it's a lot of their work's already kind of done for them. Unfortunately, they kind of undid a lot of that. Let's move on.
Okay. You bring up a nice segue to my next point here. Marvel doesn't really have anybody as recognizable or as crowd drawing as, say, Superman and Batman. So Marvel actually has to really try and with the exception of Spider-Man. But Marvel has to really try and make their movies good in order to get people to go see them. Whereas DC, their characters are so recognizable, I mean, people are going to go no matter what. So I was watching Kevin Smith's review of Batman v Superman today, and he has an interesting theory. Now, this is a theory that worked for him and how he explains it. It's called the parademon theory.
I watched it too.
Okay, well, for the listeners that don't know, there is a parademon that is featured in this film, and it is one of the things that DC fans have kind of always wanted to see on screen, or at least in the way Kevin Smith describes it, he's always wanted to see on screen. And in that moment, when he saw something he never thought he would see in a live-action movie, he was able to forgive, well, for the most part, he was able to enjoy the film and everything that was in it, despite the flaws which he could clearly see and stuff he may not have agreed with. But his parademon, having that in there, made everything all right. He was happy with what he had. He was loving the stuff that he loved and loved seeing it. So, gentlemen, do you subscribe to this theory, the parademon theory of Kevin Smith's, Chris?
I'm not going to just forgive the film. I'm going to go with no, even though I live and breathe for Kevin Smith. No, I won't agree with him on this one.
Okay, Sam?
No, I don't agree. And it's kind of, I mean, I'm also, you know, if we're talking, you know, Marvel is at the point now where they can put out a crap one. In fact, they've been able to put out a crap one for a while, and they're okay. They're able to shake it off. I mean, you know, not many people look very fondly on Iron Man 2. That was only their third one. And, you know, I'd say the exact same thing about Thor Dark World. It's just, you know, now they have these audiences, they have the right audiences, so that, you know, people want, everyone wants these movies to be great, so they'll give it a watch. You know, the real key is who goes back. That's really where they make insane money.
Compared to the other DC-based films with mixed receptions, how does Batman v Superman stack up against the likes of, say, Superman Returns or Green Lantern? Chris?
Oh, well, my thing with Superman Returns is that if that was in the 80s, it would have been a great movie. They did everything to fit, for me, you know, the 80s, and it didn't translate, you know, 20 years later, whatever, 10 years, whatever. And then as far as Green Lantern, you know, when I was at Shopko, I played it in my electronics, so I watched it a lot. So I grew to, you know, enjoy that. And Ryan Reynolds, I love him. But it's hard for me to say just because it's such a different tone. I'd probably have to say that if I'm going to watch something, it probably could be with Green Lantern just because of how not dark. You know, it's a lot lighter, shorter. So I would probably put it behind Green Lantern for me. But probably in front of Superman Returns. So probably in the middle.
All right. Sam?
I'd put Batman v Superman probably in front of both of them. But, I mean, they're all pieces of shit. So it's, you know, which one's more diarrhea-y.
All right.
Which one has kernels of corn in it?
They have already announced, before the movie was even released in theaters, they had announced online that there will be a 3-hour rated R extended cut released on DVD and Blu-ray. Does this sound appealing to you? Are you guys looking forward to this, Sam?
You know, this was actually, I know a lot of people seem to finally notice this right after Deadpool came out. This was actually found out back in October. I mean, I don't know. There's been some weird, Warner releasing DVDs has been really weird. I don't know if you're aware of this, Mitch, but the last extended edition of The Hobbit Battle of the Five Armies is also rated R. why, I couldn't fucking tell you. It's for violence, it has to be. And it doesn't make any goddamn sense after you watch it. It's more like a goddamn cartoon. But I don't know. I guess I'm just curious of what they add. I know Jenna Malone's character, she's supposed to be Barbara Gordon. She's completely cut out. Amon Green! Is
yes.
In the extended one, and that's the what I'm looking forward to. Former Packer great and Husker great, Amon Green. So I guess, yes, I'm interested.
All right, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be fun to see why they did it. I mean, maybe they have the inclusion of the entire bathtub sex scene. so... You know, and if he uses a kryptonite condom or not,
that could kill him.
That would kill him. So, no, I think it'll just be it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Again, if they add stuff, or I mean, what they add, you know, is Luther talking to the guy and then getting caught? I don't know. You know, is that shit in there? I don't know. I'll give it a watch.
All right. All right. Okay, we are down to my final question. if you could change anything about the film, change something that could, in your mind, turn it around, what three things would you say you would change? Sam?
Sure. My number one thing, being a superhero doesn't have to be the soul-crushing burden, which is what I think is at the heart of just what's dragging this movie down. Number two, Batman doesn't kill. He doesn't kill a ton of people. And number three, this ties into number one, Superman needs to fucking smile at some point, not just being fucking mopey. God damn it. Go on.
All right. Very nice. Chris.
I agree with all those. I would say Jesse Eisenberg's Luther pulling back on his goofy shit. There was a point where I thought he had a moment that could have been tapped into, and that was when he's on stage giving his speech and he forgets where he's at, he gets angry at himself. I wanted to see that part of Luther more and not this goofy-ass guy. I just thought that could have driven him over the edge, you know, and then be serious. So that was the big thing that I thought. He had something, and they never went further with it. I'm going to give that one because I know this time. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's end with the ending. So, Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman are there. Wonder Woman has been shown to take Doomsday's best hits, bounce back, and even smile from it. So, Batman's a tactical genius, right? Why would you put a weapon that can clearly weaken your biggest gun in that person's hands when you could hand that off to somebody who can clearly take everything Doomsday is dishing out? Why didn't Superman alley-oop the spear to Wonder Woman and he take the lasso? I mean, wouldn't that be a better ending?
That's just a good question. And I think there was a lot of stupid character choices at the end of the movie.
Yeah, I think it was some YouTubers online, the angry movie reviewer. They had brought up that alternate take on the ending, and giving Wonder Woman the big kill in the movie, that probably would have been very progressive and also very awesome to see. Do you guys agree with that, Sam?
I think trying to better that fucking terrible ending, it's kind of stupid because you need to go back way farther. I just think in general, I don't know. I think the fucking fact we're talking about a kryptonite spear is fucking bad enough. So, I don't know. And it's also fucking stupid to try to theorize because guess what? We didn't get it. Fuck. I'm just mad.
The Venom's coming out.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for letting me interview you both.
Uh-huh. No problem.
It was fun. Yeah. And have a good night.
Yep, have a good one.
Bye.